Okay, everyone, please take your seats and we start our afternoon session. We are going to proposals from the Codex Committee on Fish and Fishery Products. And can I invite Salma to continue with the presentation, please? Salma?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are one standard, one code, proposed draft code and proposed draft standards, and both of them are relating to live and bivalve mollusks. There is, first of all, the code of practice. There are two sections, live and raw bivalve mollusks and lobsters and crabs. This is ongoing work, and of course, the code has very many sections relating to food hygiene and prevention of contamination. As you mentioned, as is mentioned in the section on scientific advice, there was a joint FAO-IOC-WHO consultation on biotoxins in bivalve mollusks, and the results of the consultation were used very extensively, both in the code to put some recommendations throughout the chain and address risk of contamination. In the code itself. So the code is now at step 5. There are a number of important food safety issues, and that really allowed to discuss them with the input from FAO-WHO consultation. And also that's also biotoxins, and also, of course, we took into account the work of GEMRA in the area, especially Vibrio and any other pathogens. So perhaps our colleague from FAO and WHO will want to say something more. That is on the code. As regards the proposed draft standard for the mollusks, there are also various safety issues. One on the microbiological contamination, but there are several microbiological criteria also in that area. And the work of GEMRA was taken into account. This was sent to the Committee on Food Hygiene, although it was only not yet adopted as step 5, but to get first advice. And there was a large number of comments from Food Hygiene Committee, which said that the committee should consider further a number of issues. So that will go back to the Committee on Fish and Fishery Products. And but of course, we perhaps may anticipate that in the process in the future, there may be a need for further scientific advice. That's for the microbiological areas, also in relation also to methodology and to in addition to the criteria themselves. As regards marine biotoxins, there are also some levels. These levels are based, as mentioned before, on the results of the expert consultation and also discussion on what is applied in the different countries. There are perhaps also a need for some further scientific advice. There are also some, as you can see, the methods are only partially endorsed because in the current status of methodology, there is a need for further work, and only there are validated methods only in some cases. And so that's the status. And regard the question of endorsement, as you see on the text, which is after the table, there is some background on this question because the Committee on Food Hygiene indicated that it was not really its competence, that it should go to the Committee on Contaminants. So, of course, at this stage, we're only at step 5, and then, of course, it can be sent to both committees, because, as you see, there are some elements so far have been considered by the Committee on Food Hygiene. In the current context, we understood that this would not perhaps block the adoption of the standard at step 5, but it's quite clear that there will be a need for further work and perhaps for more scientific advice. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Salma. And can I invite the Chair of Food Hygiene to give some comments on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Food Hygiene Committee established an intra-session working group to look in detail at this draft code, the proposed draft code, and felt that there were a number of issues that needed significantly more attention by the Committee on Fish and Fishery Products, in particular issues having to do with E. coli, and issues that would benefit, the committee thought, from consideration by the Contaminants Committee. But the committee didn't express an opinion on whether these issues should stand in the way of endorsement by the commission at step five. I think the committee, food hygiene, has a very good working relationship with the Committee on Fish and Fishery Products and gave clear, very well-detailed feedback to that committee so that the committee can take action, but did not express an opinion on whether these matters should stand in the way of endorsement at all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And I see no FAO or WHO wanting to say a word. FAO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up on some of the microbiological criteria area, when the CCFH looked at the criteria specifically in relation to Vibrio paramyeliticus, they indicated that more scientific advice may be needed in that area. As in FAO and WHO, as part of our GEMRA program, we are currently doing ongoing work on Vibrio paramyeliticus. We have taken into consideration the issue of microbiological criteria for Vibrio paramyeliticus into the work on Vibrio and should be able to provide some additional scientific advice on that issue towards the end of this year. And on the other areas, we have not done any additional work at the moment as there hasn't been any specific requests. But the CCFH did indicate some specific work that could be done on relation to Vibrio that may assist in this code. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. Any other further comments? Then I think as an executive committee, we are in a position to recommend to the commission to adopt the text at step five, of course, taking note of the specific request for scientific advice on Vibrio parahemolyticus, and also recommending to the Codex Committee on Fish and Fishery Products to consider further the need for scientific advice for the biotoxins. Okay, that will be our recommendation to the Commission. Thank you very much. Can we go to the next one, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the next one is from Committee on Food Labelling. There are three items, and there is the first one is the addition of ethylene to the list in the organically produced foods guidelines. So it's something which came from 2006, was sent to step five. There is consensus and no specific problem. The second one, advertising in relation to health and nutrition claims, was also approved as new work 2006. It was sent to step five. There is only mention in the last column, there is a need for some clarification because we have checked, and in also previous report, there was some discussion, but so far the committee has not yet decided exactly where it should be included. There are a number of labelling texts, and there was some discussion, but there was no decision. So that would be the only thing which needs to be clarified, of course, prior to the finalisation of this definition. And on the third item, it's proposed draft amendment to the general standard, and it's on quantitative declaration of ingredients. As you can see, it's from 2000. We did not put a lot, we did not put explanations because there was nothing in terms of procedure or other standards. It was only that the delay was due to lack of consensus, and it went a little back and forth in the committee, and it went once to the commission but was sent back, but that was only a question of consensus. Now there has been very extensive discussion in the committee, and there was a text on which all countries could agree, and it was sent to step five. So there is nothing else at this stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Salma. And it's open to the floor. Any objections why we shouldn't recommend their adoption at step five? Member from Latin American Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. No una objeción, solamente una petición al secretariado de aclaración de la nota que aparece en relación a la definición de publicidad. en relación a las declaraciones de propiedades nutricionales y saludables, porque siguiendo esta discusión, entiendo yo que esta definición de publicidad derivó del hecho de que la guía para las declaraciones de propiedades nutricionales y saludables mencionaba que los principios que establecen esas directrices también se aplican a la publicidad. Entonces, me parece que, salvo algún error de apreciación de mi parte, no habría otra posibilidad sino que esta definición de publicidad entrara en las guías de declaraciones de propiedades nutricionales y saludables. De hecho, el texto mismo de la definición es muy claro al señalar esto, que fue lo que permitió, de hecho, alcanzar el consenso suficiente para avanzar este difícil tema al trámite 5. Entonces, quisiera nada más la aclaración de si es necesaria esta acotación. Si no, pediría que se eliminara la misma porque puede crear confusión. Gracias, presidente.
Thank you, member from Latin America and Caribbean, and Salma, please.
Mr. Chairman, if you, there is a discussion in the, not in that section, where in this session held in 2007, the discussion was on the actual definition. If you look at the discussion in the previous committees, there were several proposals on where to include it, but there was not, in fact, it's not written, the discussion is written that there was no final conclusion on where to put the definition itself. But if it's the understanding, it's a very good proposal to clarify it in the committee, in the executive committee, and have some recommendation, because perhaps that would avoid it being rediscussed. But when it was discussed in the previous session of the committee, there were various proposals on where it should be included, but it was not. There was no really conclusion. It's not specified. When it was adopted as new work, it was not really specified. But if it's the understanding of all the CC execs, that would be, perhaps we can put it here in the report, and that would be clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Salma, and that sounds to be a very good proposal that we try to explain and clarify the note, and maybe that will also avoid unnecessary questions in the Commission. Then with these observations, then can we say we adopt the three draft standards? I mean, recommend to the Commission to adopt these three standards at step 5, with the understanding that the Secretariat will clarify the remarks given against proposed draft definition of advertising in relation to health and nutrition claims. Okay. Some points of the clarification from the Secretariat, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Three points. First, if this text is still moving in the step procedure when this exec committee meets again, then the Secretariat will put a few more words in the notes so that the intent of the message is clear. And secondly, the exec committee may take this opportunity and recommend through the Commission to the Food Labeling Committee that the final place for this definition should be clarified as soon as possible. And in the note or in the report of this committee, we can recall the background briefly of this matter so that it adds some more clarity about the background of the issue at hand. So these are three points. Thank you.
And can I ask the committee to agree with the three points the Secretariat has raised? Member from Latin America and Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Únicamente quisiera estar seguro de que los entiendo claramente, porque me parece que de la intervención previa por parte del secretariado se vio la posibilidad de que se dejara ya este asunto zanjado y quizás sería una oportunidad buena para así dejarlo. Y quisiera preguntar si existiría suficiente antecedente como para que se sugiera ya que esta comisión, esta definición quede en las directrices para el etiquetado de propiedades nutricionales y saludables. Lo cual podría hablar bastantes discusiones, porque el gran miedo detrás, si puede ayudar a los miembros del comité, el gran miedo detrás de esta discusión es que la definición de publicidad pueda ser muy amplia y se extienda más allá del caso concreto que nos llevó a discutirla. Entonces, creo que podría ser muy útil, si sería una contribución, de hecho, a los trabajos técnicos del comité de etiquetado, si pudiera esto, esta sugerencia salir de aquí del comité ejecutivo.
Well, that's an interesting suggestion, and you want to come, Mr. Rita? As I said, that is a very interesting proposal from the member of Latin America and the Caribbean, but it's a proposal that will really require wide consultation, wide involvement of the members of Codex, and again, that's almost precisely what we're asking the committee to do, to tell us where do they think the definition can best fit, in which case we would have prejudged the discussion in the committee. And maybe we cannot, we might note that proposal in the executive committee report, but require the Committee on Food Labeling to specify exactly where they think the definition would fit. And I think that would give an opportunity to all the members to discuss and agree through the committee. So our recommendation would still be that let's ask the Committee on Food Labeling to discuss and specify in which labeling text the definition should be included when finalized. But we also take note of the good recommendation from the member of Latin America and the Caribbean in our report. Thank you very much. That will be our way out. Can we go to the next committee, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next item on the agenda is the Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables, and there are two standards for jam, jellies, and marmalades, and of course it's dating back from 1998. When the committee discussed it, agreed that I think we have already discussed that that committee has very heavy workload, and that was now been progressing and going to step five. And then the objective of the committee is to finalize the standard in 2008, when the next session of that committee is held. Regarding the standard for certain canned vegetables, general provisions, it was also initiated in 98. What is going to step five? Now there is general code and there are annexes. So the objective is to finalize the main standard in 2008 and the annexes and guidelines, which are at other step two or three, which are mentioned in the other document, in 2010. relating to earlier discussion we had concerning additives on jam, jellies and marmalades, perhaps also in that case we can make the link with what was discussed earlier on additives, because there are some provisions under consideration, so the committee can also look at what is being discussed under the general standard for additives. So that's all on this committee, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Salma. And any objections to us recommending the Commission to adopt the two proposals at step 5? No? Thank you very much. Then the Executive Committee recommends to the Commission to adopt these two texts at step 5. Next committee, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee on Fresh Fruit and Vegetables. There is one standard at step 5. It's bitter cassava. It's been initiated recently because it's been initiated in 2005. Already it went through critical review. There were substantial discussions on that question. Because as you know, there is already a standard for sweet cassava. So the objective was to finish it to 2008. This, in addition to the standard, the quality and essential composition, there is a question which may be on one part a quality issue, which is the limit of hydrogen cyanide, which was in the standard for sweet cassava. There is a maximum which defines the product. However, in the standard for bitter cassava, there are two levels, one which would define the product range and what is maybe a maximum level of 200 milligrams per kilogram. The way it was discussed in the committee, we may consider there are some safety issues involved, so the question we would have perhaps for further consideration that if it's considered as a safety level, it should be established on a scientific basis and be referred to the Committee on Contaminants, and also as regards existing scientific advice or possibility of asking the advice of JECFA, there is a reference to earlier evaluation. JECFA evaluated cyanogenic glycosides, but it, in 92, but it had concluded at the time there was lack of quantitative data and it was not possible to establish safe level of intake. So that may be discussed also from that point of view. So there are various issues, the identification of the product, the characteristics, and what may be a food safety issue. And in that case, it would perhaps require scientific advice, but that is up for the committee to discuss. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Selma. And can I open this document for discussion in the floor now? Any comments? Any observations? Seeing none, then the Executive Committee will recommend to the Commission to adopt these standards at step 5, but also taking note that there is a need to have for JECFA to revive the work they had stopped back in 1982 to be able to evaluate the safety concerns of the cyanogens. Member from Latin American Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad, la razón por la que no intervine antes fue porque supuse que habría que la recomendación del comité ejecutivo se limitaría a sugerir que se adopte al paso 5 la norma. Sin embargo, en relación a la segunda parte, en relación a que se sugiera que este trabajo se ligue a la evaluación de inocuidad por parte de JECFA, sí tendría una reticencia, y esta deriva de la forma en que se está abordando la norma. La única referencia que existe actualmente en la norma a estos cianógenos, glucósidos de cianuro, no está en la sección de contaminantes, sino en la sección que se refiere a la definición del producto. Esto es, no busca hacer un establecimiento de un límite máximo de admisible, sino meramente servir para efectos comerciales, para distinguir las variedades de yuca. Entonces, me preocuparía que esta otra cuestión obstaculizara el avance de este trabajo, que como se puede apreciar, esperamos poder concluir en el Comité de Frutas y Hortalizas Frescas el año entrante. Entonces, me parece que esta segunda parte de la recomendación, no hay nada que le impida al YECFA, desde luego, evaluar estos posibles contaminantes naturales, pero podría frenar innecesariamente un trabajo técnico que podemos aprobar para todos los efectos en el Comité de Frutas y Hortalizas Frescas. Entonces, apoyaría la primera parte de la recomendación de la Presidencia para que se sugiera a la Comisión que se adopte al trámite 5, pero no la segunda parte, en la que se sugiere que esta evaluación de inocuidad se haga por YECFA, y desde luego no a que se ligue un trabajo con el otro. Gracias, señor Presidente.
Thank you, member from Latin America and the Caribbean. Member from Europe, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Notre souci était également de voir que le souhait était d'aller vite, puisque la date pour la fin des travaux était de 2008, c'est-à-dire l'année prochaine. Or, nous savons tous que le GECFA a un ordre du jour, une liste de priorités très chargée. Nous savons également que les budgets disponibles pour faire fonctionner le GECFA sont limités, à tel point que cette année, il y aura uniquement une réunion du GECFA prévue. D'un autre côté, il nous semble que des teneurs en acide cyanhydrique telles que celles qui sont mentionnées dans la dernière colonne, à savoir jusqu'à 200 mg par kilo, sont manifestement susceptibles de poser un problème de sécurité alimentaire. Donc nous nous posons un peu la question de savoir quelle est la meilleure façon de procéder. Un avis du GECFA effectivement semblerait utile, mais quand sera-t-il possible de disposer de cet avis du GECFA? Donc on est un petit peu dans une situation difficile et nous n'avons pas de solution à vous proposer. Merci.
Thank you, member from Europe. Member from Africa, please.
Mr. Chair, I think we also are in agreement with what the member for Latin America and the Caribbean said, and we concur with what Europe has just said now, that there is a need to go fast. You know, in Africa, this is one of the products that is almost getting in the market, the gari and the cassava flour. And if we delay the process here, we are sure that some of these products may not really enter into the market easily. And the separation is already made between what is bitter and what is sweet cassava. And we have already some levels that are recognized for bitter and some which are recognized for sweet cassava. And the Committee on Fresh Fruit and Vegetables has come to, for us, to a good conclusion. And we shouldn't stop the work of that committee with reference to the work that should be done by JECFA, because it's, for us it may block the process and all this. And we are sure that the JECFA meetings are not so frequent, and the calendar of JECFA is such that it may be difficult, but by in 4 years' time, that they give an advice on this. So please, Mr. Chairman, we will instantly recommend that we remove reference to the JECFA to continue work that stopped in 1992. I think it's absolutely important for us to go ahead with this. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Africa. And another such suggestion would be, let's recommend to the Commission to adopt the text at step 5 as just been proposed, and maybe require the Codex Committee on Food Additives, Codex Committee on Food Contaminants to, at a later stage, look at the safety concerns of cyanogens, and maybe through the committee, that committee request for scientific advice from JECFA. So we separate the two issues, and one is handled by the Committee on Processed Frozen Vegetables, and then the food safety concerns will be handled by the Codex Committee on Food Contaminants, and that committee on food contaminants can keep prepare a specific request or send a specific request to JECFA for scientific advice on the safety concerns of cyanogens. Will that be a better way forward? I see member from Latin America and the Caribbean, Africa, Europe. That would be a better way. Okay, that would be our recommendation from this executive committee on this subject matter. Thank you very much. Can you then go to the next one, Salma, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the same committee, there was still one item, which is guidelines for inspection and certification, which initiated in 2001 and now is a step 5. And then the committee agreed that the objective would be to finalize it in 2010. Thank you.
Can I open to the floor for any comments? No comments, then we recommend to the Commission to adopt the text as step 5 as proposed. Thank you very much. Can we go to the next committee, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You will be all pleased to see it is the last one on the list. It's from the Committee on Contaminants. So that's there are two aspects on some related issue on the MCPD, on the acid hydrolyzed vegetable proteins. And that was recent in both cases. The maximum level was initiated in 2004. Now it is at step 5. On the scientific advice, you can see that it had been evaluated by the 57th JECFA in 2001, chlorpropanols. As regards the level, there was discussion in the committee and some reservations expressed on the level. And then there was also an agreement that the ML should be considered in the light of the finalization and implementation of the draft code. And you can see the code is just in the line below. So there a little, you can say that it goes together between the maximum level and the code of practice, which would be to reduce the contamination, which was initiated in 2005 and is proposed for completion in 2008. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And can I open the two texts to the floor? Any comments? Well, then as executive committee, we would recommend to the Commission to adopt them at step 5 as being proposed. Member from Europe, please.
Monsieur le Président, pour votre information, comme l'a signalé le secrétariat, un certain nombre de réserves ont été exprimées lors de la dernière réunion du comité sur les contaminants. Et parmi ces réserves figuraient les réserves de l'Union européenne qui seront certainement à nouveau soulevé lors de la réunion de la Commission la semaine prochaine. Je voulais vous en informer à l'avance de façon à ce que vous puissiez vous préparer pour cette discussion.
C'est secretary want to confirm the observation from the member from Europe? It's there. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that information, and I hope we shall prepare well for the commission. But I hope that reservation did not mean blocking the adoption of the text at step 5.
Je ne pense pas que ça ira jusque-là, Monsieur le Président.
Very much, and that brings us to the end of this session, item. Can I now invite the session to start looking at agenda item 2B? That is the proposal for elaboration of new standards and related texts and for the discontinuation of work.
Thank you very much. I think Selma deserves a little break, so I will introduce those proposals. The first if you take document 0730, INORM 0738, you have all the relevant proposals and project documents in front of you. The first four proposals come for new work come from the Codex Committee on Fish and Fishery Products. The first proposal concerns the revision of the procedure for the inclusion of additional species in standards for fish and fishery products. You may say that is a proposal born out of experience, of the inclusion of new types into one particular standard. And the purpose is to take into account of new technologies, methods of analysis, and the evolution of the market in fish products to assist in the inclusion of into specific standards to cover a limited number of species, e.g. standard for canned sardines and sardine-type products, amongst others. So this is the first proposal. I will stop here to let you consider this.
Thank you, Tom, and I hope we have all been able to find the document. And on 07/30/8, and the project documents are in the annex. So the first proposal, as has been said by Tom, is the one from the Fish and Fishery Products Committee, and the project document is on page 4. It's open for comments. No comments, then we recommend to the Commission to approve this as a new work proposal.
So we go to the second document,
please.
Second project document on page 5, the amendment to the standard for quick frozen fish sticks, fish portions and fish fillets, breaded or in batter, nitrogen factors. This is an issue related to revised table 2 to the labian section of the standard to include nitrogen factors not only for whitefish from temperate waters but other tropical fish species. Now that such information has become available, and that would provide valuable information for consumers and ensure fair trade practices. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. The floor is open now. Any comments? Seeing none, then we recommend to the Commission to approve this as a new work proposal. Next, please.
The next one is the standard for fish sauce, which is the proposal for a new standard, a product which is traded mainly in the Asia region, but also in significant now increasingly worldwide. There are diverse names being used and many different national standards, so this product would benefit from a standard, an international standard. Thank you very much.
Again, it's open for observations, if any. No, then we recommend to the Commission to adopt this as a new work proposal. Next, please.
Thank you very much. The next one is the standard and proposal for a new standard for fresh, live, and frozen abalone, which is a new standard prepared, would be a new standard for a product which shows that the demand for this product is increasing, and the market value is increasing a lot. So this would also be facilitating international trade of this product. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Any observations on this? Member from Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief comment. We certainly support this new work proposal, but in doing so, we would just like to comment that, in our view, the scope of the new work proposal should include other gastropods. We recognize that the committee needs to have some discussion around the justification for this suggestion. So to facilitate that, we intend providing some comments to justify the rationale behind our suggestion. We think it will be useful for the executive committee to note the interest in widening the scope of the proposed new work on the standard for abalone to include other gastropods. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Southwest Pacific. Any objections from the committee on the proposal from the member from Southwest Pacific? Seeing none, then as an executive committee, we shall take note of the proposal from the member from Southwest Pacific, and we shall also recommend to the Commission to adopt this as a new work proposal. Thank you very much. Can we go to the next one, please?
Thank you very much. That concludes the proposals from the Fish Committee. The next committee is the Codex Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables. You have a project document on page 9 of 0738. It concerns sampling plan, including methodological provisions for controlling minimum drained weight of canned fruits and vegetables. And that is a proposal in this. The committee noted that minimum drained weight for canned fruit and vegetables presented in packing media constitutes an essential criterion to guarantee fair trade practices. The proposal is to improve that method of measuring this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. And the floor is open. Member from Latin, coordinator from Latin American and Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad, con esta nueva modalidad, simplemente era para plantear que el comité obviamente no tiene comentarios sobre este nuevo trabajo, pero que Argentina va a hacer observaciones durante la reunión de la comisión. Gracias.
Well, fortunately or unfortunately, you are in the executive committee as coordinator from. And again, Argentina has all the rights to make comments in the commission.
Discúlpeme, si me permite, fue porque antes otros oradores también expresaron sus reservas por posiciones nacionales, no regionales. Gracias.
Thank you very much. And I made the same observation when Switzerland was talking, and I also made the same observation while the member from Latin America, Caribbean, you know, just gave her position. But I have one, should I say, polite request that much as we have our national positions, we are representing regions, and kindly ask you to keep the national positions to the right fora. That's the commission. And in here, let's talk as an executive committee. Thank you very much. Member from Africa.
And just give me the opportunity to back you on that proposal and support fully what you've said. We are here representing our respective regions, and we would like to see positions that reflect that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Then we can therefore, seeing no any other comment, then we can recommend to the Commission to adopt the proposed text as a new work proposal. Thank you very much. And Tom, can you continue, please?
Thank you very much. Next committee is the Colleagues Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses, project document number 6 on page 10. The document, the establishment and application of risk analysis principles by the Committee on Nutrition and Foods for Special Dietary Uses. This is a work that was requested by the committee, by the Commission. The Commission requested all relevant committees to develop risk analysis principles for application to their work. And in the project proposal, the CCINFSDU proposes to develop their document on this issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom, and the floor is open. Any comments on this? Coordinator for Near East, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Shukran Sayyid Rais. فقط تعليق بسيط وهو أن لجنة التنسيق الشرق الأدنى تؤيد هذا المشروع طبعا بسبب ازدياد الأغذية للاستعمالات الخاصة وما يمثل ذلك من مخاطر على الصحة العامة خاصة وأن تلك الأغذية تستخدم لغير الأغراض المنتجة لأجلها أو بسبب المعلومات المدونة على بطاقة البيان والتي يمكن أن تكون مضللة للمستهلك. شكرا.
Thank you, coordinator for Near East. Excuse me, Near East. Coordinator, you still have to... Oh, okay, sir, thanks. Can I invite a member from Africa? You want to say something, please?
I'm sorry, Chair, but there is there is something that I do not quite understand very well. Who is supposed to draft the nutritional risk analysis guideline principles? I mean, who's supposed to do that?
It's a very good question, and I was just about to give the floor to the Secretary to clarify on this issue of procedure. And we have almost read our mind. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to draw the attention of the committee to the fact that all items in this table 1 of the working document are supposed to become part of the Codex Alimentarius after the final adoption, but 2 items. The first item from Fish and Fishery Products Committee, the new work will address the procedure for inclusion of additional species, which is a document used by the committee internally within the Codex system to guide and streamline the work of this particular committee. So this piece of work would not result in any new text in the Codex Alimentarius. The same is true for this proposal from Nutrition Committee. Years ago, the Commission gave a mandate to all Codex committees dealing with food safety and public health matters to develop risk analysis policy documents to document well the process to be followed by those committees, including the interaction with the bodies providing scientific advice to the latter. And you may be aware that a number of committees have already developed risk analysis policy documents that are now included in the procedure manual. And now the Nutrition Committee, having finished an important piece of work on infant formula, is now trying to give some energy to the development of these guidelines, which, when that come to the final stage, will be included usefully in the procedure manual, but not in the Codex Alimentarius. So, Mr. Chairman, these two items can be developed by the committee through the method agreed upon by these committees and with or without following a step procedure. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that clarification. I thought it is important, and that answered the question from a member from Africa. And we all need to be clear in our minds that these are actually going to be internal documents for the committees, and they will not be part of the Codex Alimentarius. And the other question we can ask ourselves as executive committee is that, did they have to go through the procedure we are going through now? And maybe, Secretary, you could comment on that.
Mr. Chairman, the critical review being conducted by the Executive Committee is, so to speak, step zero in the elaboration procedure, and subsequent step one will be approval by the Commission, hopefully next week. And then step two will be the arrangements made to ensure that a draft being drawn up. But in most cases, committees have already agreed on how to proceed and which country or which groups of countries will be mandated to do this work. So in certain cases, we have noted that countries have already indeed started work, provided that the new work approval is given at step one. And of course, in case the Commission does not approve that piece of new work, then this work started needs to be aborted immediately. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, and I thought that is also a very useful clarification as we proceed. I see it's raising more questions, and a member of Europe wants to say something.
Oui, Monsieur le Président, a priori, nous n'avons pas d'objection à ce que ce nouveau travail débute au sein du CCNFSDU. Il y a cependant un point qui nous préoccupe à la lecture d'abord du sujet, puisqu'il s'agit bien d'analyse des risques, en ce compris l'évaluation des risques. Et d'ailleurs, le document de projet numéro 6 parle spécifiquement de l'évaluation des risques en matière de nutrition de façon générale et en matière de nutriments en particulier. Et le document parle également de trouver des experts scientifiques pour fournir ces avis d'évaluation des risques. Il nous semble évident que si on veut faire de l'analyse des risques, il faut faire de l'évaluation des risques. Mais notre souci est qui va financer cette évaluation de risque au niveau de la nutrition? Est-ce qu'il est l'intention éventuellement de créer un nouveau groupe d'experts plus ou moins permanent du style JECFA, JMPR ou JEMRA?
en sachant qu'il faudra le financer et qu'il y a déjà pour le moment un manque de financement des comités d'experts existants. Donc voilà un certain nombre de questions qui nous préoccupent si le comité CCNFSDU s'oriente à la demande de la Commission dans cette voie. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, member from Europe. And the understanding of the committee, as is given on number 3 of the project proposal, is true. They are going to carry out, they will require nutritional risk assessment, risk management, and risk communication. And it's very true that we have cost element. And as to who is going to carry out the nutritional risk assessment, it's a question that we can put to the committee. Member from Africa.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, look at paragraph 8. There is no external body which is foreseen to help the committee to undertake this work.
Thank you, member from Africa. We have not. And I see the flag of WHO. Maybe they want to tell us how we are going to carry out the nutritional risk assessment and with a lot of money.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to tell you how you're going to carry out risk assessment because you are not carrying out risk assessment. That is being done by FAO, WHO, not by Codex. The issue here is that we are moving into an additional area where we need risk assessment. So if we go back 30, 40 years, there was only risk assessment provided for chemical issues. In 2000, we initiated risk assessment for microbiological issues. We did find money elsewhere than where we traditionally used money for chemical risk assessment. We are now also contemplating that, we meaning WHO and FAO, to have an expert committee similar to JECFA-JNPR and JEMRA to look into nutritional risk assessment. Maybe it could be called JECNOT. Okay, or maybe not. But it's a joint expert committee on nutritional risk assessment. Of course, whenever we talk about risk assessment, the first thing we say is we have no money. I know that. We do have some money, and we have a new system that we try to set up to suggest to donors to put money into risk assessment. And that will also be presented during one of the side events at the commission meeting. So this new initiative is a joint FAO WHO initiative, which is a global initiative for food-related scientific advice. So it's food-related scientific advice, so not only food safety scientific advice. So that means that would be the chemical, the microbiological, and the nutritional advice, all advice in relation to foods should come out of these groups of expert bodies that we are putting together under one big umbrella. That is what we are intending to do. Thank you.
Thank you for you. And how soon is that going to be, if I might ask? Sorry.
It will be sooner the sooner we get some money. No, but the setup, we have already discussed for a long time, almost a year now, we have discussed the setup. What should the setup look like? Should it look more like JECFA or more like JEMRA? All these practical issues, how we set it up. So that we have already been into these discussions, also between FAO and WHO. And as you might remember, if you were as old as me, there has actually been an expert committee on nutrition before. Of course, you don't remember that, but other people might remember that here. So it's not totally new, but I would say that within a time frame of half a year, we should be able to have something up and running. Thanks.
Thank you, and I don't remember because I'm young. But Sir Wim, I saw your flag, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. just to add to what just has been said by Jürgen Schlund, jacknut looks like a strange commodity for which we need an international standard, of course. I guess, Mr. Chairman, this is a very important item, particularly for the CCNFSDU that so far had not an opportunity to refer scientific matters to a FEOWHL expert committee. And my recollection is that over the last several years, I thought also supported by colleagues from Australia, the committee has looked into it and started to discuss the relevance and the need of scientific advice and a risk analysis policy for the committee. In the last decades, I guess, the committee has struggled with it. They had to rely on the scientists present in the committee, so that was a very peculiar way, sometimes operating in a management mode, and then sometimes at the same time as working as scientists, and also sometimes referring scientific issues to an international society of pediatrics, which was not seen by everybody as independent. So you can understand how complicated it is, and in that regard, this is an excellent initiative, and I guess this proposal came forward at the same time that it became clear that FEO and WSL were willing to establish or revitalize, so to say, the expert committee on nutrition. So in that regard, as an executive committee, we should support this work and maybe also to invite CCNFSDU, because that is the committee who will draft these risk analysis principles, to do that in close cooperation with the experts of FEO and WSL. Then we are precisely on the same page as we do it in the other committees, the pesticides, the fed drugs, the additives and the contaminants, because that's also within in the framework of risk analysis that you do it in an iterative way with your scientific expert committees. So in that regard, there is some confusion in this document, but particularly now the parent organizations have the desire to revitalize the nutrition committee. I guess that should be recognized, and this document should be elaborated in collaboration with these experts. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chair Wim and member, Southern Pacific, please.
Thank you, Chairman. The previous speaker, the Vice Chair, Wim Benekis, covered many of the points I had intended to make. Briefly, we also support and attach considerable importance to this piece of work. It's something that the committee has been discussing for 2 or 3 years now, and I think in the context of the interest in new products, nutritional, functional foods, and so on, I think greater clarification on how this committee is likely to be applying risk analysis principles within their framework, I think, is useful. So we support that work. We welcome the clarification and the questions that have been raised by Europe and the clarification provided by the WHO about prospects for establishing a more permanent structure for risk assessment in this area. And I think that's something that the executive committee should welcome and encourage the WHO to pursue this with vigor, and we hope with some success as well. So we support this piece of work, and with the recognition that there is going to be a requirement for close cooperation between the committee and interim ad hoc and perhaps the longer term, a more permanent risk assessment body. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, members, Southwest Pacific. And as a committee, then we can recommend to the Commission to adopt the proposal as a new work proposal, and also take note and welcome the initiative by both FAU and the WHO to establish this body that can provide scientific advice on food-related issues, and also require or recommend that the committee CCNFSDU work in close collaboration with experts in FAO and WHO. Member from Africa?
Mr. Chair, to come back to the issue of resources, that I think we need to mention very strongly that we also encourage FAO and WHO to look for insufficient resources to cover that activity, because I know that it may be the issue of regular budget is a real issue and within the two organizations. So if we put that bluntly, I think it could be understood, very well understood by the members, that we encourage WHO and FAO to go for extra budgetary resources to cover that activity. Thank you.
A member from Africa, but I sort of refrained from just telling them how they will source the funds, in the sense that it's an initiative by the two organizations, and as we heard from WHO, it has been discussed over years, and I hope, and I think it's a right assumption, in the discussions and decisions reached to establish such a body, they must have considered the means of funding. But I see the flag of WHO, please.
Yeah, we think actually of nothing else than funding all the time. There are three different ways of getting funds, basically. One is regular budget. Some of the scientific advice from FAO side comes in from regular budget, a little bit from WHO from regular budget. WHO has the problem, a little bit bigger problem in WHO than FAO, that only 25% of our total budget is regular budget. 75% is extra budgetary. Okay, so the first was to get from the regular budget. The second, as you rightly point out, is extra budgetary, and there we have unearmarked extra budgetary funds, because some countries in WHO now provide WHO with unearmarked funds, and we are able to get into these funds if our top management agrees to do so. Our top management agrees to do so if member states tell her to do so. Then I don't need to say anything more. Then the third one is the very specific targeted search for money, and that is what we try to initiate with this GIFSA initiative, the Global Initiative for Food-Related Scientific Advice, where we open a fund, a small fund, with a pot in FAO and a pot in WHO, and then we ask donors to put money for scientific advice into these. And that will then provide some of the money that could hopefully be used also for the new nutrition committee. So we actually try to get money in from all these different places. And again, I would like to take the opportunity to remind member states, although you're not really member states here, but member states in the Commission, that the right place to talk about the necessity for scientific advice and funding of scientific advice is in the governing bodies of FAO and WHO. And we have been happy to hear over the last couple of years that several member states actually do make that point in WHO, and I believe also several make it in FAO. But that's the way the organizations will do what the member states tell them to do, as a general line.
Thank you, WHO. And a very specific question. Will it have added advantage if the executive committee would encourage you to provide extra budgetary funds to this initiative you are about to start?
I think it's like what the Codex Secretary says all the time. It's up to the committee what you want to say. This is I am not to advise member states or committees of how they should advise WHO. I've just put forward the different issues. And I've reiterated that the Director General of WHO takes her orders from the member states. I think I should say it in no other way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And with that clarification, then seems it will have some merit if the executive committee will also encourage FAO and WHO to look for extra budgetary funds for funding the initiative they are about to start. Thank you. And Wim, you have your flag. I'm about to conclude. I've concluded, and maybe you want to come in again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, just to remind the committee that when we discuss under item 4, the financial and budgetary matters, there's also an information document 3 that gives the overall perspective on the proposed funding of all the activities relative to provision of scientific advice, which includes JACFA, JMPR, JEMRA, ad hoc committees, JACNUTS. So maybe that's better to have that discussion under agenda item 4 when the committee has an overview of what is proposed. Thank you.
Thank you, Wim, for that reminder. And can we continue to the next one, please?
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much. The next one is the FAO-WHO Coordinating Committee for Asia. We have as the first proposal project document number 7, standard for chili sauce. You will see if you go to item 1 that the purpose is to establish a worldwide standard for chili sauce. And then later if you look at item number 9, you can see that it is proposed that a proposed draft standard would be presented to the next session of the CC Asia for consideration at step 4 and the CC PFV at step 7. So you see we're getting into a similar situation that we discussed previously, with a difference that now we're at the start of the procedure. So now basically we are requested to see which way to follow. So whether to adopt the proposal or whether to recommend anything else. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. I hope we have all read the project proposal and the floor is open now. Any comments, please? Neta for Asia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Let me give you some comments from the delegation of Japan. Actually, last CC Asia meeting, this proposal was decided to request commission for approval of this standard. But delegation of Japan raised some issues on this, and they gave us some comments. It says that the chili sauce is in this standard, the chili sauce is based on the chili pepper, but Japan and some other countries make the same product, chili sauce, using other stuff, like tomato. So without consideration of this issue, the Japan or other countries will have some adverse effect in trading the chili sauce. So in conclusion, the Japan didn't support the adopt this standard. But as a regional coordinator for Asia, my suggestion is that it would be good to adopt this standard as a new work in the commission, and then we can make some amendments to solve this kind of problems later. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you, Coordinator for Asia. Member for North America, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As has been pointed out by the Secretariat, this did appear to us when we first read the document as being a proposal for a regional standard. However, in reading it closely, we did note that it was proposed as a worldwide standard. We would suggest that perhaps it move ahead as a regional standard and then be considered in the broader context of regional standards moving to international standards in the same context as our earlier discussion.
Thank you, Member on North America. There is a good proposal from the Member North America. As a committee, I think we can agree to sort of defer discussions on this until we would have discussed 6B, as we agreed earlier on. Coordinator for Asia, would you be comfortable? Thank you. So we just stop discussion on this and then come back to it when we would have covered 6B. Member from Latin American Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Es un tema relativamente relacionado en el que me voy a permitir violar su petición de no hacer comentarios como país, pero en este caso es meramente informativo de que México va a proponer una norma para los chiles en fresco, que sería tratada en el Comité de Frutas y Hortalizas Frescas. Entonces se va a informar de esto también a la comisión, y es meramente informativo también aquí para el Comité Ejecutivo, para que no los tome por sorpresa. Con la decisión estamos de acuerdo, desde luego, que acaba de tomar la presidencia. Gracias.
Thank you for your understanding, and we leave with that position that let's talk as coordinators or representatives. And again, as an individual country, you are able to suggest, you have the right to suggest, and if there is that a suggestion to have fish chili sauce, then we shall look at the project document at an appropriate time. Vice Chair Karen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we discussed earlier, developing new procedures to propose to the Executive Committee and thence to the Commission for handling development of standards in regional committees that may ultimately become international standards. My understanding of the intervention by the member from North America was that her recommendation was that this be the Executive Committee endorse this new project proposal as a regional standard, with the understanding, sort of understanding, that it would be subject to new procedures as developed, as accepted by the Executive Committee in the future. That was my understanding. That would fit with our understanding of our earlier discussion, perhaps. I just offer that as a point of clarification. I hope that's clarification. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chairperson Karen. And I did mention, and I made reference to the suggestion from the member from North America, and your clarification has been useful. It's indeed yes. The proposal from the member from North America was, we recommend adoption as a regional work proposal, but defer discussions on the way forward, as is given in number 9, until we have discussed 6B. Okay. Tom? Can we continue, please?
Thank you very much. The next proposal also comes from the CC Asia, the project document number 8, standard for sago flour. And the purpose of this document is also to establish a worldwide standard, given with the same more or less considerations as the previous one. It's supposed to go to CC Asia for consideration at step 4, and then to CCCPL at step 7. If you look at the volume of trade, you can see that the production is actually very high, but you can also see that the export has at the moment only reached 240 tons of 200,000 tons produced. So there is no further indication about international trade. That's an additional consideration. Otherwise, it's the same consideration as at the previous standard. Thank you very much.
Tom, and I hope the committee can also go by the same decision we made on the previous one, that we recommend as a new work proposal at the regional level and defer discussions as to whether it should be worldwide standard until we have discussed 6B. Thank you very much. That's our recommendation. Member from Latin American Caribbean, please.
Solo un punto, señor presidente, que no puedo dejar de hacer en relación a la discusión genérica que estamos teniendo sobre las normas regionales contra las internacionales. Y es que viendo el apartado 4 de la norma para las salsas de chile, a mí me es muy evidente que si los principales exportadores son los Estados Unidos de América, Países Bajos, Alemania, Italia, China y Japón, incluyendo a Tailandia, esto suena mucho más a una norma internacional que el caso siguiente, que es la harina de sago, que es un producto con el cual no estoy familiarizado. Pero el punto 4 deja muy evidente que el principal comercio de este producto es internacional, es regional y con algunos efectos en otras regiones. Ese es de los criterios que creo que sí debemos de tomar en cuenta al momento de tomar decisiones de este tipo. Entonces, si bien no voy a objetar la decisión que se tomó sobre la salsa de chile, en México consumimos bastante salsa de chile, cualquiera que haya ido a visitarnos lo sabe bien. Creo que son de los temas que necesitamos tener muy en cuenta para los criterios que se definan. Ese es el comentario. Gracias.
Thank you, member from Latin American Caribbean, and as we said, we would come back to this, and we shall appreciate and we shall take these considerations when we come back to these documents after we have discussed 6B. And thank you for drawing that to our attention. Okay. Tom, can we continue, please?
Thank you very much. The next committee, is the Codex Ad Hoc Intergovernmental Task Force on Foods Derived from Biotechnology, and project document number 9, page 13, is the annex to the guideline for the conduct of food safety assessment of foods derived from recombinant DNA plants and low-level presence of recombinant DNA plant material. So this this annex is a continuation of the work done and is supposed to give guidance to countries that want to determine the food safety of a recombinant DNA plant under circumstances where there's low-level presence, and taking into account that there's at the moment different authorization, asymmetric authorizations of low-level in different countries, where in some countries the food safety assessment has been passed and in others not. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. And it's time for our coffee break and coffee stretch. And can I open this to the floor if there are any burning observations on this? Otherwise, we can recommend to the committee. Okay, Coordinator Fonia East.
Consider East. هي ليست ضد. هي فقط ملاحظة بسيطة. بأنه ليس هناك ما يمنع طبعا من قيام فريق المهام الخاص بهذا المشروع، ولكن من الضروري أن يتم تحديد النسبة المنخفضة من مكونات الغذاء المشتقة من ترابط DNA فقط. شكرا.
Thank you, member from Near East, and I hope this will be the issues to be discussed in the new work proposal.
So I think as an executive committee, we can approve, recommend to the commission to approve this as a new work proposal. And as the work starts, the concerns raised by Near East needs to be addressed. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I happen to have served the last session of Biotechnology Task Force, and according to the discussion that was held in the task force meeting, the new work proposal will not attempt to set any numerical threshold to, let's say, legalize the mixing of GM and non-GM products or between two different GM products, but simply provide guidance to appropriately conduct safety assessments in case genetically modified plant products have been identified in the consignment, the genetically modified products that were not approved in the importing countries was identified in the consignment. So as far as I have listened to the proceedings of the last task force meeting, that is not part of the scope of this new work proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that clarification. I think the member from Near East was a bit concerned with the terminology low-level presence. And that sort of gives an indication that there will be a value to be given. But if that's not the case in the committee, then I hope Near East can live with the proposal as it is. Okay. Thank you. It's coffee break. And we come back in
4:30.
4:30?